The reason why we celebrate Easter is that I once was dead, completely dead on the inside without Jesus, but now I'm alive. Hear me, church. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people come alive. Listen, I'm not here because the rules say that I have to be here. I'm not here because I don't want God to be pissed off at me. I'm not here because I don't want to go to hell. I'm here because Jesus gave me life. I'm here because when I had no purpose or aim in my life, Jesus gave me a name and a destiny. I'm here because when I had made a complete mess of my life, Jesus picked up the pieces and put it back together. I'm here because when my relationship with my dad was fractured and broken, he healed it and reconciled us back together. I'm here because I still need life. Every single day of my life, I need the life of Jesus, the life of resurrection. I don't know why you're here today. Maybe you're here because a loved one asked you to come. Maybe you're here because Easter is like the one Sunday a year that we attend to just barely appease God and keep him from smiting us. Maybe you don't even know why you're here. Regardless of why you came, if you're in need of life, if you're in need of healing, if you're in need of peace and resurrection, you're in the right place. I think we can all agree that there are parts of our lives that need a little bit more life. Can we agree on that? Like, there are some of us who feel dead on the inside. There are some of us where we need life in our relationships, in our careers, in our souls. Some of us, we feel dead. There's no joy or hope. There's nothing to look forward to. There's deep emptiness. For some of us, we're crippled by anxiety and fear, drowning in depression. But the good news of the gospel today is that Jesus has come to give us life. In 1 Corinthians 15, 16 through 20, in the, because we are a predominantly Asian church, the MSG version, it says this: if corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't. Because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. Jesus' resurrection means resurrection for us all. Because Jesus lives, we can have life. See, there was a moment when all hope was lost, a moment when it seemed like death had won. The disciples had put all their hope in this man, Jesus. They had hoped he would be the one to free them from Roman captivity. They had hoped that he would be the savior of the world, and now he was dead. And with them, any hope that they had for salvation or liberty. Have you ever put your hope in something and been utterly disappointed? You know, when we, I know I'm a Bay Area native, but I am a Lakers fan. Any Lakers fans in the house? Last year, when we had acquired the Russell Westbrook, there was this air of hope, right, that we got this star player and we're going to be unstoppable. We're going to get to the finals. We get to the end of the season and we're barely about to make it into playoffs. And then we actually don't. It was utterly disappointing. We had so much hope that we would win another ring, but we were met with utter disappointment. Have you ever put your hope in something and been utterly disappointed? But God is redeeming all things. Lakers, we're in the plains this year. We're going to go all the way. Amen. Okay. But have you ever put your hope in something and been utterly disappointed? This is what the disciples felt. They had put all their stock, all their hope. They had given their entire lives to this man. And now he was dead. See, it had been 3 days since Jesus died. And here, we're going to read in a little bit, one of the women that were following Jesus, one of his disciples, Mary, went to the tomb. But she didn't go expecting resurrection. She went there to mourn. And this is what it says in John 20:11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been found, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. So the first person to encounter Jesus is Mary Magdalene. Now take note that the first people to witness the resurrection of Jesus were women. In fact, did you know the first sermons ever preached about the risen Christ were by women to the other disciples as they were testifying what they had witnessed? So next time you go to a church that don't allow women to speak or to preach, you remind them that the first sermon preachers of the risen Christ were women, okay? But that's a side point. At first, Mary, she goes to the grave and she doesn't recognize Jesus. She thought he was the gardener. Now, this hits really deep with me because some of you might know, but back in the day, I used to have an illustrious hip-hop career. Some of y'all are like, "No, he don't look like, I know I don't look like a rapper." And the problem was, I don't look like a rapper. And so I would show up to these events where I was headlining, and I would be up on stage waiting for my sound check. And more than one occasion, other artists came to me, and they would say, "Hey, where do I plug in my music?" I'm like, "Why are you asking me? I don't know." And then someone up would come up with me, like, where's the green room? And all these people were asking me these questions, and I was wondering why. And I realized every single person thought I was the tech guy or the AV guy. And when they found out that I was the rapper, they were like, "No," until they heard me. I was decent. I wasn't great. I was decent. But this is what's happening. Mary, she shows up at the tomb, and she sees Jesus, but she doesn't recognize it's Jesus. She thinks, "Oh, this is the gardener. This is the person tending to all the tombs." And at first, Mary doesn't recognize. See, Mary wasn't expecting resurrection. She came to the tomb to mourn. The last person she expected to see was Jesus. So it's understandable that she didn't recognize him. It's a logical mistake. But when I read this story, I ask this question. What if it wasn't just a mistake? What if it was something more? What if it was a prophetic mistake? Or what if it wasn't a mistake at all, that when Mary saw Jesus, she saw a gardener? Did you know that Jesus, after he died, he was buried in a garden? You know, most people were buried in cemeteries or tombs, but Jesus was buried in a garden. This is significant. I'll tell you why. A garden is a place where you cultivate and grow living things, right? It's a place to experience life, a place to experience beauty. Unfortunately, here in the city, it's kind of hard to get an area to garden. And I told y'all when Chris and I first moved to the city in 2016, we found a plot of land where we could garden. But guess how long the wait list was? 7 years. So if you want to garden here in the city, you got to wait at least 7 years, which is a shame because when you see a garden, right, you think of life, you think of growth, you think of beauty. Now watch this progression. Jesus, on Good Friday, he dies and he's buried in a garden. Keep that in mind. On Holy Saturday, the next day, Jesus' body, it's buried in the ground in the garden, and it's sown like a seed into the soil of the ground. And now on Easter Sunday, the garden, it brings forth the first fruits of the resurrection as Jesus comes back to life. Jesus was the first fruit of resurrection. It's no mistake that Mary thinks Jesus is the gardener, because he is. Jesus is now the gardener of resurrection, cultivating new life in all who believe, birthing new life in the soil of death, in the soil of pain, in the soil of grief, in the soil of sorrow. Theologian G.K. Chesterton, he says, on the third day, the friends of Christ, coming at daybreak to the place, found the grave empty and the stone rolled away. In varying ways, they realized the new wonder. The world had died in the night. What they were looking at was the first day of a new creation with a new heaven and a new earth, and an semblance of a gardener God walked again in the garden in the cool, not of the evening, but the dawn. If you remember back in the beginning, in Genesis, everything starts in a garden. Creation starts in a garden, but the garden is ruined by sin. You know, a few years ago during the pandemic, everyone was in their plant era, right? Like Gabby, she was in her plant era so hard, like her whole room was covered with all these plants. You know, when I never had a plant era because every time I try to take care of plants, they die. You know, some people have green thumbs, I have a black thumb. I kill everything that I touch. It's a miracle that my baby and my dog are alive. But Gabby loved her plants so well, and they thrived and they grew. But if you're like me, everything that you touch just dies. And in a sense, when humanity was entrusted with the garden of creation, they introduced death and brokenness and pain. You know, just think of all the ways humanity has made a mess of our world. All the wars we've started. All the hate we've sown. All the ways that we've hurt and broken each other. In fact, think of all the ways that we have made a mess of our own lives. All the things that we've broken. All the things that we've failed. All the ways that we have fallen short. But the Easter story tells us that we have a new gardener who will restore the ruined garden of our world. Jesus, the gardener of creation. Jesus, the one who turns wastelands into gardens. Jesus, who brings beauty from ashes. Once again, Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people come alive. And maybe we need to stop preaching at people to fit into the tiny little neat morality boxes that we've created for them, and instead call people and invite people to come alive. To come alive in your relationships, to come alive in your careers, to come alive and tap into the fullness of life that God intended you to live. See, what good is it if we follow all the rules, but we're walking around like dead zombies every day of the week but Sunday? And unfortunately, for many people who have been in church for years, that's how we live. And what we're testifying to then is not a risen Christ. We're testifying to a grave. See, the Pharisees had all the rules down. They followed every single rule to a T. They had religion, but they had no life. If we have religion, but have no life, we're missing the point. I always tell people, don't listen to the words that I speak. Watch what my life speaks. How my relationships are. How I am on Monday and not on Sunday. See, this thing is not about right or wrong. It's about life. See, the whole faith thing is not just about making it to heaven after we die. Easter is not just a hope for a future paradise. Easter is hope for our world right here, right now. Easter is hope for your broken situation. Easter is hope for your sorrow and your depression. Easter is hope for your current circumstance. Shane Claiborne, he says, for even if the whole world believed in resurrection, little would change until we began to practice it. We can believe in CPR, but people will remain dead until someone breathes new life into them. And we can tell the world that there is life after death, but the world really seems to be wondering if there is life before death. See, we spend so much time in church talking about life after death. But what about life before death? See, the resurrection isn't just for the afterlife. It's for the dread of Monday mornings. It's for broken relationships and dead ends. It's for the heart crippled by grief. It's for dead dreams and long lost desires. It's for every grave that we find ourselves in. And when Jesus rose from the grave, he was ushering in a new creation, a new order, a new way of living. And so this is the invitation of Easter. To everything wrong and unjust in our world, the gardener has come to make things right. To everything broken and ugly, the gardener has come to make things beautiful. To all the messes that we've made, the gardener has come to redeem all things. God is cultivating something new, something beautiful. And from the dirt of our lives, he is growing a beautiful garden. And we're invited into it. Brian Zond, I'll finish with this one last quote. He says, in the world after Easter, The Spirit of Truth says, imagine a world beyond violence, beyond war, beyond greed, beyond poverty, beyond disease, beyond exploitation, beyond the tyranny of economic self-interest, beyond the wreckage of ruthless competition, and move in that direction, because that is the future. The way civilization has been arranged from Genesis 3 and 4 onward have been according to the lies of Lord Death. But Easter is the declaration that the Prince of Life has overthrown the Lord of Death and opened a new door, a door that leads out of the land of death and into resurrection country. This is the hope of Easter. But I don't want to end without acknowledging that for some of us, it feels more like death than it does resurrection today. For some of us, it feels more like the tomb than the empty grave. For some of us, it feels more like Silent Saturday than it does Easter Sunday. You know, yesterday on the church calendar, we call it Holy Saturday or Silent Saturday because it's the day between Jesus' death and Jesus' resurrection. And it was the day when the reality of all hope had being lost had began to settle in. And it's the day where God was seemingly silent. And I think most of us, we find ourselves in that place between death and resurrection, waiting for God to fulfill his promise, waiting for God to come through on our behalf. And the question is this: why does God reveal himself as gardener and not builder? Right? When you're building something, you can kind of set the pace of growth, right? The IKEA table will be built in 30 minutes. The code will be written in an hour. I don't know anything about coding. I'm just assuming it takes an hour every time. The Lego Death Star will take about 3 hours, right? When you build something, you could set the pace of growth. But when you're gardening, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, Gabby, but when you're gardening, the pace of growth is actually out of your control. You can set all the right conditions, but you can't will a plant grow in 30 minutes for me. When you're gardening, it takes time. And it takes patience. And oftentimes you have no idea what's going on underneath the soil. You just have to trust that the process is working even though you can't see it. You know, for those of you who have never been pregnant before, which I think is most of us, what people won't tell you is that your first time as a couple being pregnant, everything is absolutely terrifying. And I'll tell you why. In the first trimester specifically, you know that, at least for the woman, you know that there's a baby growing inside of you, but you have no way of knowing, is the baby doing well? And I remember every day we'd be like, I hope baby's okay. Because you can't feel a kick. You can't hear them. You can't see. You go for an ultrasound every few weeks, but that's about it. You have no idea. And part of you just has to learn to trust that baby is doing fine. That baby is growing. Baby is okay. And I think for many of us, we're in a situation in our lives where we don't see a lot of movement. We don't see a lot of breakthrough. We talk about a God who heals and who puts things back together and who is amazing, but we don't see it in our lives. And one of the reasons why Jesus reveals himself as gardener is because gardens take time. And gardens require trust and patience in the process. You see, Mary didn't return to the tomb because she was expecting resurrection. She was going to grieve. She was going to get closure. Yet in her grieving, she was surprised by hope. You know, one of my favorite movie moments, I'm a huge cinephile, and one of my favorite moments in the movie theaters was during Avengers Endgame, right? Captain America fights Thanos, and he's beaten, well, not beaten, he's almost beaten, and Thanos is still up, and then Thanos' entire army shows up behind him, and it's all of the army and Thanos against Captain America, a bloodied, beaten Captain America, and it seemed like all hope was lost. But what happens? He hears in his intercom, on your right, and then one Avenger comes through. And then the portals open up, and then every Avenger comes through, and then every person and character in the MCU ends up coming through the portal. And at the last moment, when he was overcome by the sting of defeat, there came hope. He was surprised by hope. See, here's what I want us to know. No one knows when their Easter will arrive. We don't know when we'll experience resurrection in our lives, in our careers, in our relationships. But part of the spiritual life is learning to sit in the silence of Saturday and trust that our gardener is cultivating life. That beneath the soil of everything that's going on in our lives, that God is working. And that resurrection is coming. That Easter is coming. See, you can celebrate the resurrection and still be in the pain of Saturday. They're not mutually exclusive. In fact, a deep understanding of your Saturday, of your pain, of your groaning and your waiting is what often reveals the hope and the power and the beauty of a risen Savior. In other words, you can still be in the agony of loss and hope for resurrection. You can still be in the frustration of waiting and longing, but hope for resurrection. And this is the tension where most of us live our lives every single day. I don't think it's up there, but famous theologian Frederick Buechner, he says, resurrection means that the worst thing is never the last thing. I want to end with this thought. Resurrection always happens while it's still dark. You can't have resurrection without death. Resurrection happens in the darkness, in the soil, in the dirt of our lives. You can't experience resurrection where there is no death. It was at the tomb when all hope was lost that Mary witnessed resurrection power. And it was in the face of death and hopelessness and pain where Mary experienced resurrection life. If you have come in here and you're in the thick of Saturday, you're in the thick of waiting. You're in the thick of darkness. You're in the thick of the soil, of the crap and the dirt of your lives. This is the very place where God often meets us and surprises us with hope. Easter is coming. Resurrection is coming. And so I want to invite you right now just to respond to this word. Why don't we close our eyes? And I want to just create a space where God can begin speaking to us, where God can begin addressing the darkness and the soil and the dirt of our lives. I know for many of us, we're here today. Some of us, we don't know why we came. Some of us, we're here to support someone. For some of us, we had no expectation coming today, but I do believe that none of us are here by accident. I do believe that there are people who have come in with heavy burdens. There are people who have come in with darkness. There are people who have come in with brokenness. There are people who have come in with impossible situations. There are people who have come in with fractured relationships. There are people who have come in need of life. And if that's you, I want to remind you that Gardener God is here. That the gardener is working in the soil of your life and he's making something beautiful. That the gardener is here to make things right. That the gardener is here to bring beauty from the ugliness of our lives. So right now, God, I just pray for every single person who feels like their lives are surrounded by graves, that's submerged in death and darkness. I pray for every single person who is facing an impossible situation. I pray for every single person who's surrounded by fractured relationships. I pray for every single person that's just broken or empty on the inside. And I just say, Easter is coming. Resurrection is coming. And I pray that even today, some of us would just hear that echoing in the caverns of our souls, in the depths of our being, in our lives, that Easter is coming. Gardener God, you know what you're doing. I pray you'd speak to every heart right now. I pray you touch every life.